Psalm 119, if you would please, in your Bibles. Let's stand and we'll read our text this morning, Psalm 119:57. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 57, "Thou art my portion, O Lord. I've said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways. Turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Father, we ask you this morning, we've already prayed. I don't think we can pray too much, God. I realize we don't pray enough. I say I don't pray enough, Lord. I'm sorry. And I pray now this morning that your presence would be felt in this room. Lord, I ask you to bless the words of God. I ask you to bless this book. I ask you to bless the studies that I've done and tried to prepare my mind and my heart to give something to your people this morning that would help them. Lord, I realize in this room this morning there is all kinds of different problems, all kinds of different heartbreaks, all kinds of struggles, all kinds of failures, all kinds of sin, all kinds of shortcoming. People that have needs, God, on all levels. People that are trying to do right and struggling, and the devil's pushing back on them. And Father, this morning we need your help. And Lord, I pray that you'd have free course in this room, and that you would, Lord, touch my lips. Help me to say the right things. Help me to say it the right way. Help me to say it with the right heart. And give me the wisdom, God, regardless of where my heart's at. Give me the wisdom to come across the right way to the people as well. That I'd not get in your way, that my personality, whatever that is, for good or bad, would never block the work you're trying to do. Now I pray you give your people ears to hear, and I beg you, God, to give somebody some help this morning through the preaching of the Word of God. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Taking my thought this morning from the first verse there that we read, verse 57, he says, "Thou art my portion, O Lord. I've said that I would keep thy words." I wonder what you want out of life. That's what I got thinking about when I saw this. I thought, what do you want from life? Do you ever ask yourself that? What's my portion? You know, we come to church, and I'm not harping on this. I'm not saying that this shouldn't even be, but we come to church, and a lot of times we come looking for something from God. We get in prayer and we go to our prayer closet and we say, "Lord, I'm here to ask you for, I need, help me with, God, here's my issues, Lord, please show up." I wonder when the last time is that we stepped back and asked ourselves, "Am I satisfying God? Does my life and my actions make Him happy? Have I given God with my life what it is God wants from my life?" Let me ask you this question. I'm trying to provoke your thoughts this morning. If Jesus Christ showed up right now to you and just stood there, and you could ask him one question, what would you ask him? Now, if you have any amount of wisdom at all or experience in life at all, you would probably say, "Lord, I don't have anything to ask you. I want you to tell me what I need to hear. Give me the key to life. Give me in one phrase, since you are wisdom personified, you are omniscient, you are God Almighty, you need to tell me, please tell me what I need to know to figure it all out. I want the key to success." Don't you? I mean, don't you want that? If somebody could hand you, listen to me this morning, if somebody could hand you the key to unlock everything you need unlocked, talking about every problem, I'm talking about every heartbreak, I'm talking about every issue, I'm talking about everything there is that you need to know for life, and they could give you that key, and that would unlock it all. Wouldn't you want to hear that? Wouldn't you want to hear that from the Lord Jesus Christ himself? I'm telling you right now, I'm going to give it to you this morning. I'm not playing. I'm going to give you the key right now this morning in this message from the Word of God that unlocks it all. It's the first line in verse 57. Thou art my portion, O Lord. Now wait, here's proof that I'm not way off track. What did Jesus Christ say when they came and said, what's the first and great commandment? What did he tell you? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. That's the key. That's the first and great commandment. You need to fall in love with God. You need to love the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to say, all I want from life, to me the pinnacle of success, has nothing to do with the career change. It has nothing to do with the salary. It has nothing to do with the vehicle. It has nothing to do with the home. It has nothing to do with kids and grandkids and the perfect little world and the perfect marriage where it's always just romance and hearts and flowers and butterflies and everything's perfect. It has nothing to do with popularity. It has nothing to do with fame. It has nothing to do with worldly success. What I want from life is God Almighty to be everything to me, to walk with Him, to know Him, to fellowship with Him. Hey, to be more like Him one day at a time from now until the day I die. I want God to be my portion. Amen. And I am telling you, if that is the obsession of your heart, everything else in your life from this moment till you die will figure itself out. I think the root of our problem is that when Jesus Christ did give us the key, when he did give us in one pithy little statement, packed full of wisdom, packed full of all the answers, and he gave it to us where? It's sitting in your lap, right? In the Bible, in the Word of God. Didn't he give it to us in the Word of God? So we read our Bibles and we go through our devotions and we're like, oh yeah, and then love thy neighbor as thyself, love God, love others. And it just really goes, it just becomes this tagline. It becomes this sales pitch. It becomes this tag that we have on our church or on our website or on our Facebook or whatever else we're doing. It's just this little silly little statement. But listen, loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, selling out to God, do you realize what that actually means? Are you willing to pay the price associated with saying, God, all I want out of life is you? What's your portion this morning? I want you to see in the Word of God that we need to make God Almighty our portion. If you want to satisfy God, if you really genuinely from the depths of your heart desire more than anything to satisfy God with your life, like, Lord, I don't want anything from you. Listen to me this morning. I'm trying to get the point across. I'm telling you this morning, it doesn't matter what you think you want in life. If you could go back and erase the past and redo everything and make it your perfect little world, your perfect little life, and like all that didn't happen. And as a little kid, I had this perfect dad who was a wonderful man who gave me all the things that I want to give my kids because I didn't have that growing up. And if I had this perfect mother, this doting, wonderful mother who had all the perfect balance and all the wisdom of the ages and this wonderful little home life. And then I fell in love with my forever spouse when we were in kindergarten and we just had this fairy tale romance since we were little and went off into marriage and had 5 healthy children. Oh, that sounds like miserable. You understand the point I'm making? Your fairy tale little life without God in a sinful world would never do what you think it would do for you. Your portion ought to be God. Our obsession ought to be our walk with God. Our desire should be, Lord, what I want out of life is I want you. And that's what the psalmist is saying in verse 57. He says, Thou art my portion, O Lord. What do you want from life, son? Jesus shows up. You've made me very happy. You're a good man. You follow me. You obey me. One wish granted. What is it? And he said, okay, I know exactly what I want. I don't even need to think about it. I don't need to balance the books. I don't need to look at the debt. I don't need to talk to the wife. I don't need to think about the marriage. I don't need to worry about the kids. I know exactly what I want. I want you. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord. Let it be. You know what the problem with us is? I think a problem, major problem in our life, and I'm not beating up on you, okay? I said us. Major problem in our life, he's not really our portion. Satisfying God with our life is not really what's important to us. Because he said, for thy pleasure, Revelation 4:11, we are and were created. Your purpose for existing is satisfying him. And what he wants, according to what he told you through his son, is love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. That's what God wants from you this morning. And we come to him saying, here's what I want from you. And I think many times he sits back and says, why should I answer that prayer? You haven't given me what I want. Let me show you an example of a man who I think is like, unfortunately, like too many Christians nowadays. Go back with me, keeping your finger or some kind of a mark here in Psalms 119. Go back with me to Genesis chapter 25, if you would, please. Genesis chapter 25, and look at verse number 29. The Bible says in Genesis 25, 29, and Jacob sowed pottage. And Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I'm faint. Therefore his name is called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I'm at a point to die. I'm starving. He wasn't starving. He wasn't going to die. He was hungry, and he'd been out hunting, and he was hot sun and whatever else, and he was probably pretty good shape. His belly button was hitting his backbone. And he's saying, I'm starving. No, you ain't. You're too connected to your belly. What profit shall this birthright do to me? You see the word? What profit? You know what he was looking at? He was looking at the here and now. You know what he was looking at? He was looking at this life. You know what he was thinking about? A temporal lust. A temporal drive, a temporal desire. You know what he had been given? A spiritual, hear me, a spiritual responsibility. And that spiritual responsibility meant sacrifice, it meant duty, it meant leadership, it meant character. And he said, what good is this birthright going to do me? I'm starving. So he took the spiritual and he threw it away for a temporary pleasure, a temporary desire to be met, a temporary need, something that was going to perish. Talking to an older man this week, I said, how you doing? He said, I'm good, man. How are you? I said, I'm doing great. I'm here. He said, yeah, still alive. I said, yeah, just postponing the inevitable, huh? He said, yeah, that's the truth. I said, there's no discharge in that war. Turn around and walked away. Get those gears turning, you know. When you walk away, when you just kind of like, you know, like, yeah, I guess that's true. Like, yeah, you don't know I quote a Bible at him. You just walk away, let the Spirit of God work on it, and we'll pick it up next time. You realize you can go after whatever you want to go after in this life. You can eat, you know, spinach and salads all the time and do all your exercising and get out there. And I'm not saying you shouldn't. Care and maintenance is not a bad thing. You got to exist in this flesh. But you realize no matter what you do for this flesh, it's temporary. You realize you can sell your soul for your career. Listen, you're supposed to take care of your family. Okay? I'm not getting on you about having a career. I think you ought to take care. I think you ought to do the best you can to take care of your family. Amen. There's nothing wrong with that. Just don't forget in the meanwhile to keep the priorities right. Because you got no guarantee that you're even going to have a job 6 months from now. Great big old house, you know. Ah, big old mansion. Yeah, what good is that house if you ain't in love with your wife? If she ain't in love with you? What good is that house if it just gives the brats another place, the children that we love so dearly, another place to squirrel away and get into trouble so you won't know? What good is all that? I'm trying to tell you this morning, you better recognize what your portion ought to be and what really matters in this lifetime, because these other things of this world are temporary. Don't sell out God for the temporary. He did. Look at the story. He said, I'm at a point to die. What profit shall this birthright do me? Verse 33, and Jacob said, swear to me this day, and he swore unto him. And he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread, and pottage, and lentils. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. And Esau despised his birthright. How long do you think that bowl of pottage lasted him? You guys realize I'm holding in my hands the eternal word of God. And here I am thousands of years later standing in a pulpit somewhere across the world from where this took place. And I'm using this fool. I'm using this fool as an example with the help of the Spirit of God to get people thousands of years later on another continent to not follow his example. All over a cotton-picking bowl of pottage. And what he should have said is, brother, that's a burden God put on me. And I don't necessarily want to carry that burden. That's not what I would have chosen, but God gave me that burden. And God wants me to carry that burden, and I want God. So I'd rather carry a burden with God than have the burden off my back and all the pottage the world can provide. I'll die first. And he should have walked away. But instead, the temporary pleasure of that moment, the thrill, the rush of the thing, the thrill of the experience, he sold something way more important over a temporary nothing that didn't last him. Go to Hebrews, please. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse 14. Follow peace with all men. How about that? You know what he's telling you? Get along. You know what we ought to have in church? Mom and Dad, you know what you should have in your home? Kids, you know what you ought to have with your parents, whether you like their rules or not? God said, follow peace with all men. Watch it. And holiness. Without which, no man shall see the Lord. You a fighter? Always picking at people? Always got issues? And you wonder why you don't feel the presence of God in your life. I'm telling you right now, a church without peace can't have the presence of God. A home without peace won't experience the presence of God. Is the Lord your portion? If the Lord's your portion, then following peace ought to be very important to you. And holiness. That means you learn to have charity towards others. You got a reason to fight, but you choose not to. You got things you could say about them, but your charity thinketh no evil. Now watch. I find it very interesting. This is a continued sentence. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You mean bitterness can come in context of not having peace. Somebody did you wrong, somebody's causing you trouble, somebody gets on your nerves and they rob you of the peace and presence of God. If God's your portion and you love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all your strength, the second's like unto it. I told you I gave you the key that unlocks it, didn't I? Why are we having so much marriage trouble? I'll tell you exactly why you're having marriage trouble. I'm preaching right now, I'm not pastoring, okay? I'm trying to pastor while I'm preaching, but I'm preaching for a second. Because you need to get right with God. That's your problem. Because the Lord's not as important to you as you claim he is. Just trying to help you. Yeah, that's pretty hard, preacher. I understand that's hard. You think I'm any different than you are? But man, the more I strive to get the Lord as my portion and the Lord in my focus and say, Lord, more than anything in the world, I want to satisfy you. He says, okay, can you swallow your pride and take one on the chin and walk away from that situation and let that brother talk to you like that, let that brother criticize you like that, and instead of getting upset and offended because he doesn't respect you, just let it go. You know what I've had to learn to tell the Lord? I'm trying to learn to tell the Lord, thank you. I needed the humility, obviously. I needed to be humbled. So I'll take it. And just, yeah, you're right. Turn around and walk away from it. I mean, if really the presence of God means more than anything in the world, then wouldn't we act more like him? Watch it. Bitterness comes up, and what's it do? It defiles many. Verse 16, watch this in context. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. What a context. He's talking about following peace with all men. Talking about holiness. Talking about diligently watching out for that root of bitterness that shows up because somebody ticked you off. And I'm telling you, if the Lord's your portion, you're going to be able to handle the problems and issues that come your way, and you won't be making them bigger because you'll be following his example and walking with him. Hey, his peace and his blessing on your heart will satisfy you because you're seeking to satisfy him, and you'll be okay in the problem. While he's working, whatever he's working, to do what he's going to do with that problem. But when you don't handle it right, when you let that bitterness build up, when you let that frustration come, when you let that unholy, unforgiving, gossipy, mean, critical spirit just kind of well up inside of you, before long you're off so far off the deep end because the Lord wasn't your portion, so you're fornicating, you're using your body in a way God said, don't you do that in the New Testament. Don't you live like that. And yours are so far away from God, you're grieving and you're vexing and you're quenching the Holy Spirit of God. And it all boils down to the fact that the Lord wasn't the number one thing in your life. Satisfying God didn't mean much to you. I'm telling you, we say it, but it's not just some cliche little phrase. The most important thing in the world is your personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It means everything. That's the reason to read your Bible. That's the reason to pray. That's the reason to witness. That's the reason to forgive. That's the reason to get along. Hey, that's the reason to quit what he says to quit and start what he says to start. That's the reason to sit here this morning. Amen. Listen to a preacher talk to you like, well, they don't talk to people like that nowadays. You can't do that and grow a church. I'm not supposed to grow a church. That's not my job. He said he'd do it. You know what my job is? He said, feed my sheep. That's what he said. That's all he told me to do. You know what I'm reading through my Old Testament? You know what God will do? He says, I'll gather my sheep. Well, if I'm the right kind of shepherd, the Lord will gather who he wants here. See, if God's my portion, I'm just checking to make sure I'm in the book. And if God's your portion, then you ought to sit there, go ahead and judge all day long. I have no problem with that. You judge whether or not I'm in the book. See, the problem is we get so far out in left field because the Lord's not our portion. So how do I know whether or not I'm loving him right? Because, can we be honest this morning? Not a person in the room, you've heard me say before, most of you can already finish the sentence, can't you? Not an honest person in the room is going to say, yes, I love Jesus like I should, right? Not even your preacher. God got all over me about this. I'm looking and evaluating my life, and am I satisfying to God? Am I pleasing God? Is the Lord, first of all, my portion? If he says, Mike, what do you want? Would I say, God, I want you? On our way back to Psalm, stop at Luke chapter 15, please. Look at Luke chapter 15 with me real quick. If God really is your portion, then you're going to be happy with whatever's going on around you in life. Content with whatever lot you're in. Because God's in it. You follow me? I mean, look, folks, things have happened to us. I would have absolutely never, ever, ever signed up for. I would have never, ever, ever told God, I think it's a great idea to give two of my daughters epilepsy. That would have never been the deal we would have made. But you know what I have been asking God for years? I have been asking God for years to make himself personal to my kids. I would have never, ever, ever said, God, I got a great idea. Why don't you have that little baby that we had born after she miscarries the first one? That would have never been on the list. And then we have another one, and now this one we have, and she's born and something seriously wrong with her hips. Like, seriously wrong. Like, so we're in and out of U of M all the time, and we're doing the spiritual thing like you do, because little kids are coming down the hallway with an IV in and going bald from chemotherapy, and we're thinking it could be a lot worse. We shouldn't feel the way we feel. We didn't have the preacher in our life we have now to tell us, like, that's not wise. Don't do that. Go ahead and let yourself feel bad about what you're dealing with and grapple with your problems. Don't compare your problems to other people. He wasn't around back then. And we were doing the typical, you know, super spiritual stuff we'd always been trained to do, like, oh, well, they got it so much worse, and that makes my problems insignificant. We were trying. But it's really hard when the doctor says, well, we're really not sure how this is going to pan out. Taking that little kid, man, the happiest little kid you ever seen in your life, just great big old fat thing. I mean, she was just huge from the beginning, you know, just this massive little thing. Big old blue eyes. And putting her in these braces where you got to pull her feet way up like that, a hard brace, like a big diaper. It was like hard plastic. And you got to pull her legs out like that and Velcro them in at night. She's laying there screaming and crying because she can't sleep and all uncomfortable. Because she had hip dysplasia. Nick keeping her in braces, and doctor keeping her in braces as she's getting active and starting to move around. Doctor's like, no, we got to keep her in the braces. So trying to keep her in the braces all night. They moved her to different kinds of braces because nothing was working. And Grace, I remember sitting there breaking down in the doctor's office like, please don't put her back in the braces. She's so active. I can't do this anymore. He said, oh, that's no big deal. I know you probably have worse problems, and I don't say that arrogantly. I'm sorry. I feel bad talking about mine if I know people have it worse. Seriously, it makes me feel this big, you know? But I just remember what I was going through. What were you, in our 20s? I would have never said, I think a great idea is a hip replacement surgery. Not hip replacement, hip preservation surgery. They take the socket, they cut it away from the pelvis, they cut it into thirds or something, mama knows, move it where it needs to be, you put screws this long in, we save the screws. Screw through into the pelvis, take the head of the femur and shave it down so it fits right and put it back together. Coming downstairs after the surgery, 3 months of recovery. Can't move. Laying there all night with the machine moving the leg. Yeah, you know, you're a little kid, man. Pick her up and carry her downstairs. Thank God they're all little. I would have never. I'd have said, God, a teenager? Doing that to her? Coming downstairs and mama does all the research like crazy, like unbelievable, like crazy. She walks in, Mike! I know that tone. I come running downstairs like panic, like you can feel it surge your body. She's having a blood clot! She's in there. Oh God, please. No. Me and God weren't on the same page about that stuff. You understand what I'm saying? Don't want to embarrass him too bad, but I want to help you. I'd have never walked into the room and found my kid laying there not knowing what happened the last 2 days with paralysis in one leg and unable to talk and scared, throwing her in the hospital, holding the car, rushing to the hospital. No, God, that's not the plan. Those are bad plans. When you tell your kids to do right, you tell them if they do right, God will bless them, and he will. You tell them to do right, to follow God, do right, and they watch all the other kids doing wrong, and they're doing right, and God lets them have certain portions you wouldn't give to them. But when God is the portion, he knows things you and I don't know.
And he shows up in those moments in ways other people never have the privilege of ever knowing. He's got to be the portion, because none of you got a guarantee you ain't going to deal with the same kind of stuff. Get the testimonies all over the room. You think Brother Slabbert, you think Mrs. Slabbert would say, oh, my portion is cancer with a 5-year-old. You think Miss Ramona, with the son she has to take care of and the husband she has to take care of, would say, my portion is cancer? You get, I'm just telling you, that stuff happens to saved and lost. Stuff happens to people serving God and people not serving God. You ain't some kind of persecuted poor little baby. We're all living in a tough world. And stuff starts happening you don't want to happen. And you don't get to dictate it. It happens. It's life. I talked to somebody this week and she said, my brother's wife is having a baby. The top half of the baby's brain isn't there. She's going to go full birth. Birth the baby and it won't survive. What did she do? Who sinned? Her husband? Yeah, maybe nobody. I'm just telling you, this stuff happens in life. What I'm trying to tell you is, you better make sure your portion is God. Because when those things happen to people that aren't serving God, it makes them bitter. When those things happen to people that are trying to serve God, it makes them better. God, get a hold of my kids. Do you pray that, Mom and Dad? If not, why not? What's wrong with you? You ought to have a daily prayer life for every one of your children, and you ought to ask God to make himself personal to them. God, get them. And then you have to step back and say, Lord, if that's what you chose for them, then you're God. And if I can walk with you in this, and if they can walk with you in this, that's our portion. How do Christians get through those things? They got a different portion than the world. Are you in Luke 15? Watch this. Look at verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the what? That falleth to me, and he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He rose and came to his father, and when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran, fell on his neck and kissed him. The son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. The father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill him. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. You know what's beautiful about this story? When somebody picked the wrong portion, they figured out before long, I'm way off. What am I doing, man? What got him off? Do you see it, the first part of this? Now think for a second. You know what got him off? It wasn't him wanting something that wasn't his. He has an inheritance coming, right? You know what it was? It was him wanting what the Father had for him before the Father was ready to give it to him. Are you with me? Hey, give me my portion. I ain't dead yet, boy. Yeah, I know. You're established. You worked hard.
You paid everything off. You were faithful with your money. You balanced your books. You added a little bit extra, $5 extra to the mortgage every month. And as things went on and you got all your debts cleaned up, you kept adding more and more to the mortgage every month. And you got it paid off early and now you're in a good place. So give me what's mine. Okay. You want it, you can have it. What I'm trying to tell you is, even if God has given you a portion, the wisest thing to do is wait on God's timing to get what God has to give you. Enjoy the moment. Make the presence of God in the moment your portion. Satisfying God and pleasing Him now, not worried about what's coming later. When the Father's ready, let Him give you what He wants you to have, because if you get what God has for you, but you get it early, you will destroy it because you're not ready to handle what it is God has for you later. Let the Father work in your life. Let Him do it in His timing. Relax and enjoy the day. Enjoy the presence of God. Enjoy the fellowship of the Father. Stay in the Father's house. Don't get out in the world. Don't run just because you don't like something about where you're at and what the Father's doing. Hey, hang on and stay with us. Because in God's time, He'll give you what you got that's yours, and you'll be ready and you won't ruin it. When God's your portion, you not only want for your life what God wants for your life, but you want for your life what God wants for your life when God wants to give it to you. And in the meanwhile, when you haven't got it yet, you're just happy you got your portion. He's it. He's walking with you. He's preparing you. He's working on you. He's teaching you. He's developing you. It's all about Him. It's all about satisfying Him. And it's like, Lord, if you're good with me where I'm at, then I'm good where I'm at. Are you satisfied? You're my portion, so I'm good. Back to Psalm 119, please. Look at verse 59. See, we've already done most of this next point, so I'm not going to have to take long to preach it. And this next point in verse number 59, you're going to notice the pondering that takes place if you're going to satisfy God. Not only the portion you desire is God, but the pondering that takes place if you're going to satisfy God. I thought on my ways. Hey guys, when's the last time you stopped and thought about your life? You know what goes on today? Nobody, folks, I'm telling you, nobody's thinking anymore. You're so addicted to the blue screens, to the flashing lights. Nobody stops to sit down and say, Lord, I'm going to sit here on my porch. I'm going to listen to those birds sing. And I need You to show me what I'm doing. Sir, you're the head of your home, spiritual leader. When did you stop and think about what you're doing? Your dad, you got kids. When's the last time you stopped and thought about what you're doing as a father? Your mama, your wife. When's the last time you stopped and thought about yourself? How am I acting? How am I behaving? And how is my behavior, my patterns, my habits, my issues, my struggles, my weaknesses, my strengths impacting people around me? Is my life and my behavior satisfying to God? God, help me with this and help me with that and fix this and fix that. Hey, God, what can I do to make you happier? Trust me, folks, this is not fun. I don't like it. Because I don't like seeing me for how God sees me, a holy God. I mean, I know He loves me, but man, I don't like seeing what I see. I don't like seeing my faults as a husband. Me and Gracie have been talking about it a lot recently because of life, where we're at. You know, like, man, we sure hope. Sure hope we did our best.
think we did, but man, I sure hope we got her ready. Sure hope we didn't fail her. She'd never tell us if we did. Sure hope we didn't. You know, the oldest, you're always really hard on them. Right. You're scared and you're trying to fix it and make it work. And then you get a few more and you're like, wow, she wasn't that bad. Nobody wants to do this. Nobody wants to sit back and ponder. What's he pondering? I thought on my ways. Folks, we need to ponder our path. Where are you headed? You saved? You on your way to hell? If you're on your way to hell, you better think about where you're going. Are you saved? Doesn't mean you're going to be married next year. Doesn't mean you're not messing up as a parent. I'm not saying your kids are going to turn out well. Great parents have had their kids not turn out well. I just want to lay my head down at night and say, God, kids are drunk. God, my kid's a dope head. They didn't learn it from me. Would you get them? Would you help them? Would you help them? Where are your feet taking you? What example are you setting for your kids? Because maybe you can handle it, but you don't know they can. Where are you going? You want to satisfy God? You want God to be really happy with you? You do? Yeah. Think about where your feet are going. I mean, sit down and give yourself some time to hear from God this week. Make time. I'm busy. Log out of Facebook and you'll find the time. Make time to say, God, I want you to show me what I need to see about where I'm taking things. You know, an ounce of prevention, my dad always said, is worth a pound of cure. If you'll just step back and everything's going okay right now, we got it, we're holding it together, we're doing all right. Okay, how am I acting? How am I behaving? Am I being what she needs me to be? Not what I want to be. Am I being what she needs me to be? Am I being what they need me to be? Not popular. Not. Oh, I just love my dad. He's so cool. My dad's my buddy. My dad's my homeboy. I don't want to be your homeboy. No, I love him too much for that. I don't want to be the cool preacher with these kids. I don't care about being cool. I want to be their pastor. I want to see them get married. I want to come visit their kid, their little kids in the hospitals in the next few years when they have a baby and come see them bring their kids into church and see them married. I want to be their pastor. Am I being what they need me to be? Ponder your past. How are you going to do that? Look at verse 63. I'm a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. Ponder your pals, ponder your pals. Did you hear me? Your pals. I'm trying to help you this morning. You do what you want. It's a free country. I ain't your cult leader. But I'm telling you right now, your friends impact where you wind up. Period. Period. You know why some people counsel with certain people? Because they're hearing what they want to hear. Well, I'm not trying to ask you to come counsel with me. I wouldn't be so presumptuous as to do that. But won't you sit back and say, God, I need to ponder some stuff. You know what I find? I find oftentimes when people don't care too much about God and they're not worried about satisfying God, they go find somebody to excuse the sin they've already made up their mind they want to commit. You better ponder some things. You better ponder your priorities in verse 60. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. That's a priority. See that? What's a priority? That's the definition of the word a priority. It means it's like top of the list, right? My priority. You know what my priority in life ought to be? Same as yours. It ought to be satisfying God.
It ought to be God being my portion. That's what my heart, my soul, my life wants, is more of God. And then I'm pondering. I'm seriously considering. I'm evaluating. I'm looking at it. And there's no way to do that without the Word of God. I don't care what your emotions are telling you. I know we're emotional beings. I'm not trying to kill that. That's a good thing. But your emotions will lead you astray. Hey, the Bible won't. Right. And this man is saying, I'm pondering. He's writing the longest chapter in the Bible about the Bible. And he's saying, I want to satisfy God. I want God to be my portion. I want to think about what I'm doing and where I'm going. And I want to evaluate where my steps are taking me. Hey, you got to have a Bible to do that.
Yeah.
Notice the last thing in verse 64. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. You know what he's doing? He's not just saying, God, you're my portion. And God, I'm going to ponder where I'm going and what I'm doing. And I want you to show me what I'm doing and what I'm doing wrong. But he's saying, God, you're a God worthy to be praised. You see what he's saying in that last verse? The earth is full of thy mercy. I couldn't serve a holy God that wasn't merciful. I just couldn't, you understand, I couldn't do it. I know too much of what I am. It would be such a vain attempt for me to serve a God, a holy God, that didn't have some mercy because I recognize how messed up I am. No, I'm not living a double life. Don't, you know, look at me. I'm a soup sandwich like you are. I try to do right, and when I'm trying to do right, the pride creeps in, and critical spirit and motives are off, and I'm just like, I get frustrated with myself. Hey, you know what I'm thankful for? I'm so thankful. I got a God. I got a God that I can satisfy.
Yeah.
Me, Mike Reagan, I can make a holy God happy. What a merciful God we serve. And look what he says, teach me thy statutes. You want to praise God, right? Do you really want to praise God?
Yes.
Watch this. Hey, Dad. I'm trying to figure something out. Can you help me? Come on, Dads. Surely you're not so into video games or whatever else you're into. I'm not saying you shouldn't play video games. You probably should once in a while. Amen. It's good to relax and have a good time, right? It's a healthy habit. It's not like you're a drug addict. You're not so into video games as a grown man that your kids can't come and say, hey, Dad, you got a second? You certainly from an early age are building that habit and that relationship with your children, right? Dad, doesn't it do something for you if your kid comes and says, hey, can I talk to you real quick? Because they know you ain't going to give them the advice you want to give them. You're not going to manipulate their decisions for your own benefit. Even if you walk away like, oh, I hate that advice. It's not what I wanted to say. You're going to tell them what they need to hear because you love them. Right? Ain't that being a dad? Now, where do you learn something like that? How do you know anything about that, men? You fellas, we are the most self-centered and selfish people on the planet. You do know that. Men are way more narcissistic than females. You ladies can give me an amen. It's okay. If he tries to slap you around, call the cops. Amen. Amen. Where do we learn something like that? An unselfish love where we're willing and we delight in, and it encourages us and it helps us to help somebody else out and to teach them something that we've learned. You know where you learn that from? You learn it from God. You want to satisfy God? Go ask him. Hey, God, I want to know what you think. Hey, God, can you teach me something? Hey, God, can you direct me? God, I need to learn something. When Christians lose a teachable spirit, they're done. You can't quit till you die. You understand me? You can't stop. Listen, if you stop now, I don't care what's in the past. I don't care if you're just starting. I don't care if you're 50, 60 years old and you're just getting in. You can't stop now.
the next 10, the next 15 years, you don't know what miracles God might do in your life and through your life. You don't know what God might do with you. Make Him this morning your portion. Satisfying Him, make it the most important thing in the world to you this morning. Make Him your obsession. I don't care what your obsession has been. It doesn't matter what's in the past. You can't go back and change it. If you want the perfect piece of wisdom that'll unlock it all, unlock all your failures, all your defeats, all your captivities, all the sin, all the things that have grappled around your throat and choking the life out of you, the things you wish to God were gone, but they'll never go away. If you want the key to unlock it, today, I want to satisfy you. Starting right now, you're my portion. From now till I die, I just want to know, what do I do from here? You're going to find the Father's looking, and He's waiting. He's not coming down there to get you, but He is waiting for you to come home. And it satisfies Him to see a sinner all messed up, bringing himself to the Father, falling down at His feet, saying, "I have sinned against heaven and in Thy sight, and I'm no more worthy. I got a robe, I got a ring, I got shoes, I got a shower. I'm going to clean you up, boy." Make Him your portion. But you can't do that if you don't ponder the path of your feet. You got to think about where you're going. And you can't figure that out if you don't have a Bible to guide you in it. And you got to praise Him. Because right now, if all you do is see yourself and see His holiness, but you can't see His love and you can't see His willingness to teach you and help you, you ain't going to have nothing to praise Him for. People don't come to God because they don't think they can. That's a trick and a lie of the devil. He's a good Father who can be satisfied by you if you want to satisfy Him. And I'm telling you, boy, you come to Him this morning and you say, "Lord, I just want to take a minute. I want to take a minute to tell You I need You. That's my wish. You." And I realize You ain't been number one. This morning while we're sitting here, this preacher's making me ponder too much. I got too many other things pulling at me, and You ain't it. I want You to be it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I've been thinking my problems are the problem. My problems aren't the problem. The absence of You in my problems are the problem. And I just want to say thank You for being a God who's merciful and who can take me and teach me what I need to learn. So with whatever time I got left, I can do something worthwhile with what I got left. Let's stand to our feet this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.